Hello, you're listening to Queerio,
the podcast about all things queer.
I'm Holly.
And I'm AJ.
A bisexual and a lesbian walk into a podcast room.
Chatting about everything from culture,
history,
and performing arts,
to the queer topics nobody is talking about.
Given that today is our first episode, we thought it would be nice to give you a little bit of an introduction to who we are, our journeys, why we started a podcast in the first place, and what you can expect from the coming episodes.
And probably why it's worth listening to over doing your laundry or anything else that you could be doing with your time. So just like a terrible Tinder profile, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about myself and what kind of made me and AJ decide to do a podcast together, other than the fact it's a national lockdown and we have probably got not much else to do with our time. So I'm Holly, I'm 23, and I don't even know anything to tell you about myself. Genuinely don't. I'm bisexual. That'd be a start. So let's be honest, starting a podcast, neither of us are radio presenters, neither of us are experts. This is definitely not our full-time jobs. Speaking of that, though, that is how we met. We do work in the same place together, and decided that actually kind of in Lincoln, you know, as two queer people, there's not a huge amount of places we can go to meet other queer people. So when AJ stepped through the front door of my office, I was kind of delighted to actually get to meet another queer person in Lincoln that I didn't meet through a gay bar. So I think that's kind of what inspired us to maybe create a bit of a podcast and connect kind of some of the people in Lincolnshire who maybe identify as queer or gay or bisexual or transgender or anything else that you kind of want to define yourself as, and maybe kind of give you guys the knowledge that actually there is some hot topics that people in Lincoln could be talking about in regards to kind of identity.
Hi, I'm AJ. I'm gay and I was born and bred in Lincoln, moved to London, lived there for about 5 years and then back to Lincoln. So here we are. And that's when I met Holly.
I mean, that's kind of really interesting because I did the complete opposite. So you're the northerner who went south and back up north, and I'm the southerner that came up north, and clearly the north are just so amazing that I couldn't leave.
Ever. We're the best.
Ever.
We are the best. Although there is that debate in the office, isn't there, about what is the evening meal called? Me and you go with dinner, but I think that's because I lived in London for a while. The rest of them don't agree. The rest
dinner.
Of them say tea.
No, tea is something you drink. She's trying to get me angsty now and start a debate on a podcast. It's the first episode. We don't want to be debating the North and South divide, because what will happen is we both say dinner, so the whole of the South will love this podcast and the North will just write us off. We'll never get anywhere.
True. I had friends in London that used to say the North was anything north of the Watford Junction. So,
I mean, I kind of feel that. I mean, my partner always jokes that anything, you know, this is, Lincoln is not north. Lincoln should be Midlands, but to me it's the north, because when you're on the south coast, anything's north.
Okay.
So we started a gay podcast and talked about the north of the south. I think the thing is, coming from somewhere like Southampton, which is kind of, you know, it's not the biggest city out there, but it is definitely one of, you know, a big city. I was really shocked when I came to Lincoln, and the extent of our kind of LGBTQ plus support and community in Lincoln was a gay bar and a Facebook group. I mean, there's, you know, other than maybe in Gainsborough for young people, there's really not kind of any charities or anyone kind of going out and speaking about rights and you know, lots of kind of organisations like the NHS and like the Lincoln Big, you know, they support kind of the LGBTQ rights. But is there that dedicated space as an adult, you know, that you can actually go and kind of understand your identity, you know, being any sexuality, any gender, any identity? I mean, we've got kind of plenty of support, but have we got that one place where you can go? And I suppose what we're sort of hoping with this podcast is to provide that space where people can maybe get involved and kind of have a conversation and speak about something that maybe they haven't spoken about before. And I think, you know, AJ, you can probably definitely relate in the opposite way, you know, coming from somewhere like Lincoln and moving to London, where suddenly you had everything on your doorstep, and then coming back and being like, yeah, what is there?
Yeah, I mean, I moved to London and I didn't actually come out until I moved back to Lincoln. So I was quite a late bloomer in that aspect. So I kind of feel like I missed out on all the benefits of the London gay scene. whilst I was down there because I was still in the closet. So it was definitely a lot more accepting. I still went to gay bars, but not as an out gay person. And then I moved back to Lincoln and I got my first girlfriend and we were walking around town
pussy.
And we were walking around town, you know, just like holding hands, and we got so many looks, and like we actually had someone tell us we were disgusting just to our faces. I feel like the queer spaces in London, like Soho, is a few blocks worth of space, so whilst you're in Soho you kind of feel pretty safe. But Lincoln, like you said, it only has one gay bar, and as soon as you step outside of that gay bar, you're kind of not in your safe space anymore.
Definitely. And I think the thing is, you know, when you're looking at that and looking at that experience, you know, we know that there's homophobia everywhere you go in the world. As much as we like to think that we're progressive and that society's come a long way, and it has, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm going to completely recognise that as like a 23-year-old in this world, you know, I can't begin to imagine what people went through with Section 28 and all the kind of things that, you know, in the 80s that I haven't experienced. But, you know, what I can recognise is that still outside of those places, those specific places that we know we can go and be accepted, there's still a lot of underground kind of homophobia and people not being accepted. And in a way, Lincoln is definitely one of those places where, you know, you have to kind of make that choice, you know, that choice. Do I be who I am? Do I make that something that becomes a bit of a public spectacle? You know, and I think especially kind of, you know, as someone who came here for uni and was a uni student, it was really great that we had the university society to be part of. But as soon as you stepped out of that, like, you made that choice. Do you be who you are and risk, you know, being literally looked at everywhere? I mean, I know I've told AJ as well about an experience I had in one of the nightclubs in Lincoln that wasn't obviously a gay kind of space or friendly space, where me and my girlfriend at the time, we had our heads slammed together by a guy because we refused to perform for him. You know, the shock of experiencing that, it makes you kind of not know whether that choice of, you know, being out and being proud about that, even if you'll fight for it for somebody else, like, is it a choice that's it's worth risking?
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that went deep, didn't it?
It did. We got deep on the first episode. We're gonna get deep on the first episode.
But yeah, no, I totally get that. Like, yeah, when I used to walk around with like my now ex, we'd always get stared at, and it was something that I didn't want to give in to. I was adamant that I just, you know, fuck them. I don't care what they, you know, what they want to, they can stare if they want to stare, let them. But then it gets to a point where you're like, actually, what time of night is it? Has there been alcohol involved? Is it safe to have that attitude, or is it safer to just not? And that's something that I find quite sad, that you have to actually, you still have to put your safety first when you make these decisions.
So the thing is, I'm not going to pretend to be unique. I'm not going to act like I think my story is different to anybody else's, or, you know, that actually this podcast, you should listen to me because I'm this kind of unique story of like LGBTQ+ experience. How I always think about knowing that I was bisexual and knowing that maybe my sexuality kind of wasn't what was considered the norm, I thought that everybody felt the way I did. I thought everybody looked at women the way that I did. I didn't realize that when I, you know, looked at a celebrity and had that interest or that initial kind of attraction, or was kind of
mysterious. Who you got visiting?
Mysterious door.
Please tell me it's a cat. Okay, so for listeners, the door behind Holly just opened really creepily with no one stood there, but it was okay. It was just your cat, wasn't it?
But yeah, so I thought that everyone had that attraction to the same sex that they were, and I don't think until I kind of got older I realized that actually around me, the people around me they might appreciate like the female form or appreciate fashion or the models, but while they were looking at the clothes, I was thinking about what was underneath them. And I think that's, you know, that for me kind of was a bit of realization. It wasn't so much realizing that I was bisexual, it was realizing that like the other people around me weren't. And I'm not gonna like pretend that's unique or, you know, really a really special thing to have realized, because it wasn't. But you know, when you're a young person and you're figuring out your identity, you know, suffering from mental health or going through changes or you know, understanding how other families work and other people work and other young people work, that kind of realization is big. And I think as I went on, I don't think I was fully okay with that fact. I wasn't exactly in the closet or out of the closet or I don't think there was a closet. I just was stepping back and observing that other people maybe didn't feel the way that I did. And like, nobody ever asked. This is the thing about kind of being bisexual. If you're dating guys, like no one's going to ask. No one's going to assume that maybe there's more going on there. Do you want to kind of jump in about where you were at a younger age?
Yeah. So I had more exposure, shall we say, to the queer community from a younger age, because when I was like 7 or 8, my mum actually started dating a woman and they eventually got married, civil partnership, then married. And so from like the ages of like 7 or 8, I'd met drag queens, I'd been to Pride, I'd, you know, experienced all that sort of stuff. But then I started to get the bullying about my mum having a wife. So I got the tip like, oh, well, it's genetic, isn't it? So if your mum's gay, you have to be gay. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask you, like, that must be people's first response. Like, they can't possibly concede that there could be two people in a family that have the same sexuality. You must have immediately got that response of, oh, it's infectious, or maybe it was passed on through childbirth or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got that a lot in school. And I think that kind of made me push against it for a very, very long time. And it kind of made me not want to accept it. I didn't come out until I was in like kind of nearly my mid-20s. So I haven't long come out. And I think it's because I knew for quite a few years, and looking back at things from when I was younger, like in secondary school, it's obvious, but at the time it wasn't obvious to me because I didn't want it to be the truth. And I'd still go to prides and I'd be the people's like biggest like cheerleaders. I'd be like, oh, I'm such a great ally for all of these people. I will fight for them and I will fight for everything. Like, you say anything against the LGBTQ+ community and I will be at your throat straight away. But I am straight, and I, you know, throughout uni I dated guys, and you know, there was just, it was never awful, it just never felt quite right. I know. Yeah. I don't know how else to describe it. It just never felt right.
I think you're right. You know, I mean, obviously I like both, but I don't like everyone. So, I can relate to a sense. You know, I think that, you know, people often just assume that if you're like the straight population, kind of, if you're a lesbian, they just assume that that must mean, you know, everything gay, lesbian related, you're going to be involved with and into. Like, you can still have sex with a man. It's still sex at the end of the day. There's still that physical connection. It doesn't mean it's this earth shattering, like, destructive thing necessarily, but it doesn't mean it's right for you or enjoyable.
Yeah, I just found that when I first started dating a woman, it just felt different. It felt right. And it was something that it didn't feel like when I was dating guys. And it's so nice now to have had that experience and to have been able to figure myself out, that, you know, when we come out of this pandemic, can go out to bars again, single, get to enjoy the life.
But I think that's a hot topic, you know, coming out like a little bit later on in life. Like, don't get me wrong, you're 26,
I'm not 26, bitch. I'm not 26, 24.
For some reason I had 26 in my head. So you're only a year older than me.
Yeah.
When do you turn 25? Oh, in like a few weeks on the 8th. At least I remembered that part. We're literally like a year and a month apart. Coming out in your mid-20s is a bit different to kind of coming out like when you're 18 and you're first able to kind of hit up bars and explore and kind of go to those places and explore that part of your identity. Because the thing about, I mean, again, this is going to be your area of expertise, but coming out in your mid-20s, I mean, especially in a global pandemic, you've kind of missed out on that opportunity to like explore and make a fool of yourself a little bit, you know, have those really kind of silly experiences, you know, where you kind of really get to know how, you know, different women, because, you know, we're not all the same. Dating one woman is not the same as dating another. This podcast is not a dating advert for AJ.
It is a dating advert for AJ. Any applications into @QuerioPod on Instagram, please.
She's not, please don't. I have to troll through those emails too.
So I just think it'll be nice once everything's over to kind of go back to normal and really be able to explore everything, like, and just feel more comfortable in myself.
I'm gonna be your wing woman.
You're gonna be my wing woman.
I don't need one, honey. But do you know what's really interesting is how we're both at kind of such, you know, we're such good friends, but we're both kind of so different on our journeys in that experience. You know, from a young age, I was aware of the fact that I liked both genders and that I was sexually attracted to both genders and that I could see myself in relationships with, you know, well, more than both genders, really, I suppose. But at the same time, kind of, it was so kind of, you know, I ran my college LGBT society. I was, you know, talking about it, for, you know, supporting people who were LGBT at college and school and, you know, speaking about that. But like, our journeys are so different, and even now we're at such different stages. I mean, you're talking about being about to go back and, you know, start in the dating scene and, you know, build those connections with people, and I'm at the opposite end. You know, I'm a extremely proudly bisexual woman who, you know, has a huge passion for my identity and the journey that I've had, and I'm engaged to a man. And, you know, like we talked about kind of bullying and comments that you get, you know, my inner bully, my inner saboteur is saying, you know, how can you justify that identity? How can you continue to refer to yourself as, you know, bisexual? You're just a stereotype, just like any other girl that says she's bisexual and then ends up with a man. You know, you're letting the side down. And I think that's something like that would be really good to explore through this podcast later on and speak to other bisexual people and engage on how they find the idea of settling down with one gender when you know that you like both and you kind of have to. I mean, you don't have to, but for me and my kind of loyalties, let go a little bit of the idea of experiencing something I still love but in a different way again. And maybe, I mean, speak to us. Do I have to say goodbye, you know?
No, definitely, like, get in touch, let us know what you think about that sort of, that idea. Like, obviously it is a big thing, and there's a lot of people, you do see it quite a lot. It's like bisexual erasure from the, you know, from the whole community slightly. Is if a bisexual woman, for example, is dating a woman, then they're all well and good to be part of the community, but the second a bisexual woman is dating a man, they kind of get shunned a little bit from the community.
Definitely. And the same the other way around as well, you know, same for a bisexual man who, you know, dating a guy and, oh, you can be in with the gay crowd and, you know, you can be involved in that, but then as soon as you're with a woman, you know, everyone's going to see you as straight again, and you're going to maybe, you know, are you going to lose that sense of community?
Yeah, it's a really tough one, isn't it? And I think it's one that people have just got to be mindful of, especially like in the community. We pride ourselves on being so accepting and, you know, being, everyone can be part of it, and then really people are being pushed out without it being realized.
And that's without even taking into consideration the struggles that the trans community are going through and go through, and, you know, the fact that we still see LGB without the T even put on the end these days. You know, the fact that we like to think like we are all these people who want to accept and love and support everybody, but we don't. I mean, not, you know, not everybody, but there's still large parts of us that you know, don't fight for our trans brothers and sisters and don't stand up for, at the end of the day, people's rights, human rights.
Yeah, like I was quite fortunate in the sense of when I was growing up, you know, my mum had friends who were trans. So I kind of was exposed to that side of life from a young age again. So I've kind of grown up thinking all of that is completely normal. And it is. It is normal. And I hate the word normal, but I grew up around that. So I've never really known much different. And to see still some people are so far behind the times with it all, it's upsetting to see. Just to think that someone could be that, you know, mean to someone or rude or, you know, devalue their existence just because they don't understand it it's ridiculous to me.
Do you know the first gay couple I ever saw that wasn't myself?
Go on.
I was in Camden Market. I was about 3 years old. I don't know how I remember this, but I do. We were outside the tube station at Camden Market. I was with my dad for the weekend. And literally there was this one guy who literally, like, you know, everyone's going to hate on me now, but you know the character in Lord of the Rings has really long blonde hair?
I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry.
Okay, I thought they were going to hate me, but they're going to hate you more. We've just ruled out a whole fandom community of people. That will be our homework after this podcast. I have seen it. At least I've seen it. I just don't remember the guy's name. Okay, we'll start this bit again. Anyway, it was this one guy. He had like almost knee length, bright blue hair, like electric blue, right to his knees, dead straight, silky, gorgeous. His whole outfit was blue as well, because, you know, coordination and all. And he was just stood outside the tube station. And my little 3-year-old self was like, he's all blue. That's amazing. And then this other guy walked up to him and he was like the complete opposite. He had a pink mohawk. And all different shades of pink on, and he just walked up in front of my little 3-year-old self, grabbed the other guy by the back of the neck and did this dramatic movie star kiss where he like leant him back and just kissed his face. And that was the first time
I'm glad he kissed his face given that it was in public.
Well, it was definitely his face, but I remember watching them and even like literally as a toddler thinking like, wow, they're amazing. I had no more complex thoughts than that. I was literally about 3, but I remember thinking, I look up to them. But yeah, I remember thinking, like, beautiful.
Yeah, it's just so nice to, like, hear things like that from such, you know, from such a young age that kids don't think as deeply into it as I feel like some adults think they do. Like, I never thought much of it as a kid.
Their genders. I just registered two people who were beautiful kissing. And, you know, when we talk about like learn acceptance and learn, you know, the fact that we're a more accepting generation because we see it all the time. Like I was 3. I don't think my thoughts were that complex, but I just thought beautiful. And I think that to me shows, you know, we're not born to hate. We're not, you know, we don't grow up hating. I didn't grow up in, you know, an LGBTQ+ household. It wasn't something that was really talked about. I mean, it wasn't really in my forefront. And yet when I saw that couple, like I thought it was beautiful.
Do you know what I think you should tell us about? You were telling me about you were telling me the other day about when you were in the scene, so that's our local gay bar in Lincoln, and the Vivian was there before she was on UK Drag Race, and not get up to do a little dance off? Was it a dance off?
I mean, I don't know if you could call it dancing.
Can you call it that?
So that did happen. She won't remember me. But yes, before the Vivienne was on UK Drag Race, she was still the UK Drag Ambassador at that point, but she wasn't on Drag Race. I was on a night out the scene with one of my best Judies, and the Vivienne picked me to do a dance off. And there is some truly embarrassing photos. So I'll tell you what, if anyone can find those photos on the scenes page, And send them in to us. We'll give you a 5-second shout out at the end of next episode.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how they'll know it's me. I don't know how they'll know it's me, though.
No, it's a,
at this
it's a
point,
podcast.
I'm just a voice.
You're a voice. Just guess, guys. Have a go. Holly thinks you can figure out who she looks like from her voice. That could be interesting. Go through the scene's photos and see what you think is Holly, just based on the voice that you've heard tonight.
Yeah, but AJ, there's literally probably thousands of photos from nights out. But I was dancing on stage with the Vivienne, so if that narrows it down...
What did she say to you? What did she say to you? I remember you telling me.
Oh.
Go on.
Obviously, she didn't know me. And her first words, and I will laugh if she does remember this, but, you know, the Vivienne, if in some alternate world you're listening to this podcast, thanks for making me dance on the stage. But I did appreciate you telling me this. You told me, here's a dyke that looks after herself.
Let me guess, did you have makeup on and your hair done?
I didn't look my worst. That was back when I straightened my hair, which I haven't done for 10 months this week. So embracing my natural self.
I miss that so much. I miss being able to go to drag shows and
I miss leaving the house. We all feel that. All you listening to these podcasts.
I miss leaving the house. Please. At least we get to leave the house for work. Well,
we met during a pandemic.
It was nice to meet you too, yeah.
It was nice to meet you.
No, but we did meet. We met during a pandemic. We met in the middle of the pandemic because I started at the... Yeah, why are you wincing? Why? What's that face for?
Because it wasn't really the middle. I mean, the middle would have been like September.
We don't know how long this is going to go on for yet.
That's true. That's very true. That's true. Things I am sad about this year. What happened to
this year? Is in 2021 or
the last March to March?
Okay.
I need to know this question. Maybe I'm just not very good at keeping up to date with what's going on, but we're turning this into a crew trime. I can't speak.
We're turning this into a crew trime, and she's the one that's not had the wine.
Yeah, we're turning this into a true crime podcast because I need to know what happened to Lincoln Pride this year. Where did it go? It's been every year. There was no virtual online one. There was no alternative. It's normally in September. I normally run a stand every year for the company I work for. And this year, where did it go? We need to have a belated 2020 Lincoln Pride. Maybe we should have it on this podcast. We should do a whole Lincoln Pride episode.
Okay, I mean, yeah, we could give that a go. I feel like it went away just cause Corona. But, you know, I feel like maybe the bigger ones had the virtual.
Well, it's not happening again. The next pandemic that takes over the world, we need to ensure that Lincoln continues to celebrate its LGBTQ+ community. And, you know, despite all the concerns, and, you know, I totally understand that, you know, we couldn't have had a real in-person Lincoln Pride. But I think this, you know, the year's coming, we've got to make sure that we keep that presence going, we keep that space. Even if we just did the biggest Zoom quiz ever seen about kind of the LGBTQ+ community, we've got to step it up, guys. We've got to step it up.
I am great. I'm a great quiz master. I've got a sparkly jacket in my closet. I spent all the time in there bejeweling it, so it is fabulous. And it comes out for special occasions, and that could be one of them.
It's so 10:10.
Let's try and figure out a way to wrap it up. It's 10:10 on a Thursday. We did, but I feel like it's 10:10 on a Thursday night, right? Every other night this week, I've just kind of been waiting for when's an appropriate time to go to bed. Like, from the second I get in from work, I eat, do all the bits I need to do around the house, and then I'm like, right, is 7 o'clock too early to go to sleep because there's nothing else to do?
Yeah, but what makes me laugh about you, Jay, is that you still find stuff to do and then you send it to me. Like, does anyone else have that friend that, like, 1 minute they'll be sending you photos of them, like, trying on outfits at 6:30, and then 2 minutes later they'll be sending you a different video of them doing something completely different, and then, like, every 5 minutes you're getting updates, and it's literally like they've played a bingo game of, like, what strange things can I be doing to fill my evening until I go to bed. Whereas I'm just that binge watch TV. That is my evenings right now.
I don't have that attention span, Holly.
And work.
And work. Yeah, see, this morning, this is another thing that I like to do. We do have a little group chat, and I do send random videos and photos into it. And I curled my hair this morning, and I was really proud of myself because I grew up and I always had short hair. And now my hair is past my shoulders, and it's the longest it's been for a very long time, ever actually. And I curled it, and I actually managed to curl the back properly. So I was so excited to go into work and everyone to see my lovely curly hair. And then I went outside and it was blowing a bloody gale. Okay. So I was like, well, this is going to ruin my hair. So I made the most of it. And I had Celine Dion on my headphones, and I was listening to Think Twice, and it was dramatic, and the wind was blowing and the leaves were blowing everywhere. And so I decided to do a bit of a lip sync at the bus stop. And
you say that as if you don't constantly burst into song throughout the day and dance moves anyway, but carry on.
Yeah, but that's in the office that I burst into song and dance moves throughout the day. It's different. This is like on a public sidewalk. And I just thought the wind was a great
sidewalk.
I know, I've turned American. The wind was just like a great wind machine, and it was making my hair go everywhere. And I feel like it really made Think Twice by Celine Dion a little bit more dramatic. And do you know what? I had a great 5 minutes doing that.
You had a diva moment. You had a diva moment.
I had a diva moment, and I really
tell us
really
your diva
it.
Moments. We want to know what your diva moments are. When do you feel yourself? When are you? I mean, please don't tell me the answer to that question.
When do you feel yourself?
Not appropriate. Moving on. When do you feel powerful and strong and amazing and just live that life, live that moment, be who you are? Sashay.
Nice save, Holly.
Yeah. Well, moving on.
So that's it. We hope you enjoyed the ramblings of two mid-20s queers in lockdown.
Maybe it had you smiling while you were on the bus.
Or while you brush your dog.
Or even while you rearrange your fridge for the 52nd time this lockdown.
This is episode one.
If you have any questions, comments, stories, good queer jokes, because AJs are awful.
Oi. Or topics you'd like us to cover in the future episodes, then you could contact us on Instagram at @querio_pod, or you can email querio.podcast@gmail.com. Querio! That was so bad we did that.